Turn with me in your Bibles for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel chapter 41. Ezekiel 41, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Afterward, he brought me to the temple and measured the posts, 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured the length thereof 40 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. Then went he inward and measured the post of the door 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits, before the temple. And he said unto me, This is the most holy place. After he measured the wall of the house 6 cubits, and the breadth of every side chamber 4 cubits round about the house on every side. And the side chambers were 3, one over another, and 30 in order. And they entered into the wall which was of the house for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. And there was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers. For the winding about of the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. I saw also the height of the house round about, and the fountains of the side chambers were a full reed of 6 great cubits. The thickness of the wall, which was for the side chamber without, was 5 cubits, and that which was left was the place of the side chambers that were within. And between the chambers was the wideness of 20 cubits round about the house on every side. And the doors of the side chambers were toward the place that was left, one door toward the north and another door toward the south, and the breadth of the place that was left was 5 cubits round about. Now the building that was before the separate place at the end toward the west was 70 cubits broad, and the wall of the building was 5 cubits thick round about, and the length thereof 90 cubits. So he measured the house, and 100 cubits long, and a separate place, and the separate place, the building, with the walls thereof, 100 cubits long. Also the breadth of the face of the house and of the separate place toward the east, 100 cubits. And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side and on the other side, and 100 cubits with the inner temple and the porches of the court, the doorposts and the narrow windows and the galleries round about on their 3 stories over against the door, sealed with wood round about, and from the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered. To that above the door, even unto the inner house and without, and by all the wall round about within and without by measure. And it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had 2 faces. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. The posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one was as the appearance of the other. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said unto me, This is the table that is before the Lord. And the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors, and the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 turning leaves, 2 leaves for the one door and 2 leaves for the other door. And there were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls. And there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side and on the other side, on the sides of the porch and upon the side chambers of the house, and thick planks. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Clear as the summer sun, right? Well, you know, it's not as easy to follow, is it? Because there are different structures being spoken of and different sizes and all kinds of measurements and decor and so on. Let me just maybe clear up a little bit. We've seen the wall, the great big wall at the front. Then we've come into an outer court. Then we've come into an inner court. Then we've come into a temple, and then we've come into a small building in the midst of that. And so in this chapter, we have that temple complex built and the small building, which is the most holy place. And that's going to be the smallest dimension that we have in the middle here. Okay, so yeah, we've come to this by steps, haven't we? And every step we've raised up a little higher. When we get into this final area, we have a winding, right? Like a winding step that goes up even higher yet. And there are three stories, if you will. Well, all of those things are symbolic, and they're all designed to teach us something. I mean, we see some of the same things that we've seen before. We see the majesty and the symmetry of what's going on here. We see that our Lord Jesus Christ is still the builder. It is still full of beauty. It is still a temple to be admired. It is an enduring temple. It is built strongly and stoutly and with great care. All the lines are straight and level and plumb, and all of those things are going on. Everything that we've seen before, we continue to see here. Now there are a few changes. There are a few things. We have, as it were, this winding that goes up. And, you know, there's a division among commentators as to what that means. Some have actually, and I guess I have some affinity to this view, that they're supposed to be in that, you know, it's kind of a nondescript winding that just kind of goes up, right? And that is that this is the gate of heaven. This is the church. And what is the church? The church is truly the gate of heaven. And so, put in this idyllic kind of understanding, the church of the New Testament that is built by the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed that thing that kind of, you know, it goes up into the mist, if you will. You know, it just kind of rises up. Now, there is a ceiling up there, and there are three stories of these, but it just ascends up higher and higher. And you know, this is why they built those kinds of cathedrals in the Middle Ages. You know, because that was, they believed, and I think erroneously so, but they believed that, you know, that space up there, that was God's space. And so you walked into this building and the architecture soared into heaven, didn't it? Well, they thought that they were drawing the worshiper closer to God in doing such things. Actually, they were doing the opposite in those days, because that was a faithless kind of church, a faithless kind of building. But it's an interesting thing to think about. So then we have now the cherubim and the palm trees. The cherubim are added now. And why are cherubim added at this point? Well, because we have come into the place where the cherubim were, right? They are still there, as it were, in this new temple. This is part of the parallel between the New Testament church and the church of the Old Testament. Now, these cherubim, they have two faces. Did you hear what the two faces were? One of them is as the face of a man, and the other is as the face of a lion. Right? Well, okay, and they are called cherubim. And so that's important for us to remember that there is some continuity. The angels are still wondering at the redemption of God here, even in this New Testament temple. And what's in between each of the cherubim? Again, a palm tree. And what does a palm tree stand for? It stands for victory and everlasting life. It's always green and it rises up above everything else. Right? That's the That's why Jericho was called the city of palm trees. It's impregnable, in other words. It's always victorious, and yet the people of God brought it down. Okay, so stories of chambers, an ascent of stairs to them, kind of like the ascent into heaven that speaks to the nearness and necessary holiness of the people of God as he dwells among them and as they ascend to him. This is why always you spoke in the Old Testament of going up to Jerusalem, no matter where you were in the world. If you were on Mount Bashan, which is at 8,000 feet, or Mount Hermon, 8,000 feet, and you were going to Jerusalem, 2,000 feet, you would go up to go there. We don't think of it that way, you know. Normally, we think of up on a map like north. Wherever you were in the world, you went up to Jerusalem, because that's where God dwelt. And so that is reproduced here in this temple. That the temple is a type of Christ, according to William Greenhill, is seen in these things. First of all, as the temple is holy, so Christ is. It was fair, beautiful, and comely, and Christ is altogether lovely. It was by the temple that they came to know God, his word and ways. And so it is by Christ, the great revealer of the Father. The temple is the place of God's habitation and delight. And so the Father delights in his Son, and the Son tabernacles with his people. The cherubim and the palm trees, the messengers and ministers of the church and the faithful are like the trees in the house of God, right? I'm like a green tree in the house of my God. So all of those things, the palm trees and so on, they are all indicative of this greater glory of the New Testament church. In the second section, the overall description is a three-parted court and plan. In the middle of it was the temple, the inner and outer chambers, 100 cubits. To the east, a separate place or court, open space also 100 cubits. And to the west, another building, a separated place, 100 cubits. This third place also had a precedence in the history of the nation and her worship. There was a place in the temple complex where the more profane things were handled. They would have to come and spend extended periods of time, you know, extended periods of the day in worship. You stood in line to have your animals sacrificed by the priests, sometimes for a lengthy period of time. And so there were places of you know, where you could go and relax, you could relieve yourself, you could do all kinds of other things, as we said before. But note that even this place has been brought nearer to the temple itself. It's of the same size and construction. So there's a greater expansion then of the principle of devotion and dedication to the things of God. Everything's the same size. All these courts and this building. And so that which was formerly profane is now brought into this greater holiness, if you will. And then notice the symmetry, light, and beauty of the design. And there's one more piece of interesting furniture here. There is, did you notice there's no table? There's no Ark of the Covenant. There's only one thing that is contiguous. It's called the wooden altar. And it's also called the table of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? The wooden altar was not that big brass altar that stood outside where the animals were sacrificed, but this was the altar of incense that was set on the table of showbread. And so it's called the wooden altar and the table. And what was the incense altar of? What was it a sign of, a symbol of? The intercession of Christ and the prayers of the saints. And so this temple that is seen here, this New Testament church, is seen full of the intercession of Christ. None of those other things are there, but that remains. Right? Because prayer and Christ's intercession is that which is constant among the people of God of every age. Their sacrifices of animals may come and go, although, as we saw earlier, the principle of sacrifice remains. But how is it that we draw near to God in the Holy of Holies? It is through the intercession of Christ. It is through that wooden altar. And thus the chapter ends. Let's stand and continue praising God.